CliffCentral.com.
Come on. Why did that have to happen? That is so embarrassing. Let's try this again. It's a Friday. I'm exhausted. I have no brain on a Friday. I realize that my brain decides to take a weekend earlier than the rest of me. So you will forgive me. Okay. It's the weekend, baby. I promise I'll put a little bit more energy in it in about a couple of minutes. But for now, Garrett Cliff is running a little bit late, although he says that he'll be here momentarily. Michael Flex is not here this morning because you remember we were talking this whole week about how he is going to Italy and he is going to be listening to the Pope speak at the Vatican next week, but then he's also going to Jewish camp. It's like band camp, but with Jewish people, I assume. In the meantime, I am being joined in the studio this morning by Ramon.
That's my name. We have to settle for like fifth best
that,
on the list.
That is actually your name, though. I mean, that's how we've decided that your name should sound from now on.
Indeed. It feels like I've been re-Christianed. and I approve.
How are you doing this morning?
I cannot complain at all. I'm actually here to do the sports ball bulletin.
Now, this is very interesting because you of course do the Renegade Report with Dr. Jonathan Witt.
Yes.
And we know that you're a fan of this show in particular because, you know, you send us messages every morning and we love having you as part of the conversation. And now you're coming in to do the sport as well. You're a man of many talents is what I'm gathering.
Well, let's just wait until I do the actual sports first. then we can judge after that.
I see we got another medal in the Olympics, but I'm sure you'll be able to tell us all about that a little bit later.
Did we?
Oh, this is not a good start for you, Ramon.
You ready? That's spoiler alert for my sport.
Okay, you know what? I'm not going to say anything further. I promise you I'm not going to say anything else. What I do want to talk to you about, though, and I'm glad that you're kind of here this morning and that things have worked out a little bit this way, because, Ramon, you, of course, did not participate in the elections at all. You didn't vote because, you know, you said that it's a complete waste of your time. Or maybe you can put it better than what I can.
Well, voting is a waste, yes.
Okay, so I put it exactly the way that you intended it. So, as somebody who didn't participate in the elections and who didn't vote, what do you make of the whole situation in terms of how things have turned out? All these little coalition agreements that have taken place. You know, in the DA, you have an orgy of political parties that are basically going to be responsible for that municipality. Did I say in the DA? In Nelson Mandela Bay.
Yes.
In Nelson Mandela Bay, you've got an orgy of political parties who are going to be in charge of that metro. What is your sense of how things have turned out?
Well, I think it's democratic. People say that's good if it's democratic. I just think, yes, we just have less oppressive overlords who are a bit less corrupt. And that's about it, really.
That's about it, really. Otherwise, not much interest, you know, with regards to election results and how things are going to...
I mean, I'm happier living in Joburg with the DA government.
Right.
Right, because precedent shows that they actually do care about the lights working and whatever, like very like white things working.
Very white things working.
Like potholes and robots and garbage collection and... I'm a white person, sort of.
Okay.
And I appreciate that those things work.
Okay.
I have to pay for them whether they work or not. I'd rather.
You know that right now you're just affirming that stereotype that the DA gets tagged with that they're a party for just white people.
Yeah.
That's basically what you're affirming right now.
But I don't care in the slightest. None of these people represent me, so I'm allowed to be as open as I want to be.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what, Gareth is going to be here in a couple of minutes. Let me see if I can get Pashida onto the mic because she's here this morning. Yeah, look, it's a bit of a skeleton staff situation this morning. Ben's still away in Thailand, although as I understand it, he is possibly going to be joining us as well this morning, you know, just to catch up with Ben because, yeah, he's been having a good time. But, you know, we've kind of also been a little bit worried about Ben because of the bombings that have been happening in Thailand. ISIS related. And it's been good to hear from him every morning, you know, when he sends us his video, his voice clips, and just checks in with us to let us know that he's still okay. We will not let Ben know that we have missed him. That will never be said publicly. Good morning, Pashida.
Good morning, Mavali. How are you?
I'm alive.
Yes, you're alive. And you're taking over the ship.
Well, for now. Yeah, so Ben is in Thailand. Michael Flex, as I mentioned, he's gone and begun his holiday situation.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's just the way it is for now. Listen, I don't know if you're aware of some of the breaking news stories that have happened overnight. A few days ago, Flex was the one who actually told us about the story of Ryan Lochte. And, here we go. Here's Gareth Cliff. All right. The story of Ryan Lochte and how he was apparently robbed while in Rio, him and three other of his fellow athletes. And it was a whole big story. And, you know, people were saying, oh, well, you know, typical Rio. First, you know, you find amputated feet floating in water. Next thing you know is the Zika virus. Of course, athletes were getting robbed while over there. But as it turns out, there's a whole entire story about how Ryan Lochte and his pals fabricated the entire story. Because I suppose what began as a boys' night out turned into people behaving like idiots. And now it seems that the Brazilian police officials have footage to...
Yeah, but he's apparently, according to Ben, he's the dumbest person at the Olympics.
He is absolutely the dumbest person in the Olympics. I can't deal with Ryan Lochte, so I can't wait to get into that whole situation.
All right, let me do a swap with Mubs. What the hell are you doing here, Roma?
I'm doing the sports ball bulletin, Gareth.
Sports ball, right?
I worked really hard on this.
Is it different from a normal sports bulletin? Yours is a sports ball bulletin.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, every sports is a ball-orientated sports ball thing.
All right, well, yeah, Flax is away. He's on what he calls Jewish camp. That makes me nervous. Sends shivers down my spine when someone talks about the word Jewish and camp in the same sentence. But apparently it's a thing. What else is there? There's Pashida standing in for him very capably this morning. Hey, Pashida.
Hi, Gareth.
What's
happening?
You
made it.
Hmm?
You made it.
Yeah, Friday, so we should all be in a very good mood. Except I was stuck in the most god-awful traffic now. You know, there's no explanation sometimes for how highway traffic in particular just grinds to a halt. Nobody knows why. Nobody seems to have any explanation. You drive past what is supposedly the cause, and there's nothing there. Makes no sense whatsoever. And all it ends up being, really, if you drill down, is one really stupid person who should never be on the road in the first place.
It's never just one person, though.
Oh, it is. If you think you can't make a difference in the world, if you think that you're not important, if you don't think that being an individual is a big deal, just put your brakes on really quickly on the highway and see what happens. I can promise you right now there will be thousands of people who will not get to work on time today if you're that dumb. And it has happened, and it does happen. Anyway, it's time for us to get into news. Let's see what Mabale Maloy has got for us in the headlines this morning. It is today? Friday, the 19th of August already. Good heavens. All right, Mubs, while I get all this set up, let's get into it. What's happening in the news?
All right, wait.
There we go, there we are. No, you're sorted.
Testing. Oh, okay. There we go. See, I couldn't hear myself in my ears.
Neither could I.
Okay. Sorted. Yes, so this Ryan Lochte situation, right? Let me just carry on with it. I mean, what a bunch of morons. These idiots.
So how many guys was it?
It was four guys in total.
What, were they just drunk?
They were drunk, Gareth. Okay. There's surveillance footage that's now surfaced of how they arrived at a garage, a gas station. Apparently, they needed to use the loo because they'd all been drinking. But the loo, for some or other reason, they couldn't get access to it, so they decided to vandalize the place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have footage of these four idiots leaving the petrol station, and then people who work at the station going in and then discovering that the place has been vandalized, and then they're confused about what happens. You know, these morons were urinating all over the place. They were just behaving like a bunch of brats. You know, typical.
And you know, they assume because they're in Brazil, there are no cameras around.
Sure.
They couldn't possibly have first world stuff.
You know, I mean, let's just go into some dingy third world place and do whatever we feel like it, because
break stuff.
We're first world Americans. So as I understand it, two of the four athletes have since come forward and spoken to officials and said there was no robbery. In fact, it was Ryan Lochte's idea. He fabricated the whole story. So
don't ever take an idea from the dumbest person on the U.S. team.
Well, especially one that's back in America already. So how can he be punished for it?
And doesn't he have the bleached hair and everything as well? So he looks ridiculous as well.
Completely.
No.
So two of the swimmers, as I said, came forward. Some or other apology has been issued by the two athletes. But what was interesting to see, because I went on to American Twitter last night, right? And I wanted to see what the reaction is. And would you believe that I might as well have been on the South African Twitter timeline, because what has happened as a result of the situation?
There are a whole lot of people defending Ryan Lochte and saying he can't possibly be a bad guy.
There are a whole lot of people defending Ryan Lochte, but what has since happened is it has turned into a race war. You know, with
how does race come into this one? Well, this one someone has to explain.
Well, Gareth, you know, there was apparently an incident involving one of the gymnasts, right, who is African-American. And she was criticized by a whole bunch of Americans because during the national anthem, while she was receiving her medal, she didn't have her right hand placed over her chest.
No, she's not patriotic enough.
And so some Americans were very touched by that, and they were very upset, and they criticized her, and they said all kinds of mean things about her, and they said, you know, she really needs to change her attitude, blah, blah, blah. And now, with this Ryan Lochte situation, with some people defending him saying, oh, you know, it was just a bunch of guys on a guy's night out. They're just a bunch of kids. And people saying, oh, there's that white privilege again.
Oh, okay.
And so it has very quickly deteriorated into blacks versus whites in America. So no different from us, really.
All right,
it's a universal thing.
Let me cut to the chase on this. What is so good about patriotism? I know that we're competing against other countries for gold and silver and bronze medals, but that's really to show which country has the most athletes or who has the most resources to support those athletes. And of course it's going to be the US, it's going to be China, it's going to be Russia, it's going to be the British. But you know what? So what if you don't sing the anthem with your hand on your heart? How about you just don't even bother with that stupid anthem? I mean, I saw one of the EFF's demands, if they were going to go into coalition with the ANC, was you have to drop the stem from the national anthem. Now,
yes,
this is such a cosmetic bullshit thing. First of all, I don't care about the stem. You could take it away and I wouldn't have one sleepless night. I also don't particularly care about Nkosi Sikelela. I'm not one of those people who stands with my hand on my heart every time that happens. I do it because it's respectful and you have to. And because people look at you funny if you don't. But to me, and let's be perfectly honest about this, there are a lot of people not going to like what I'm about to say. I don't care. If you are a patriot and you believe it's important to be a patriot and that gives you some kind of social cachet, I got bad news for you. Nobody else cares. They care about themselves being a patriot and they don't give a damn about anyone else who feels patriotic. And patriotism is a dumb hangover from the years where we had to fight, don armor, put on uniforms, pick up guns and go and shoot for some stupid political or royal or religious person at the top of the pyramid. Don't fall for this crap. You don't have to. The only reason that you are South African is because you were born within the borders of the Republic. Full stop. This crap about, gonna wear my Springbok outfit every Friday. Go for it if it makes you happy. I think you're a poopball.
Oh, but Gareth, this is where you're wrong. People do care whether or not you're a patriot. That is why, if you say that you don't give a shit about the Springboks and you much prefer watching the All Blacks because they play better,
no,
you will be massacred.
No, I didn't say that.
And you, no, 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 no.
I don't care about any rugby.
No, 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 no.
About that.
But you will be massacred because you will be accused of not being patriotic because you prefer the All Blacks over the Springboks. It's completely insane.
There must be someone who's going to argue with me this morning. I want to be argued with.
You're in that mood.
No, I'm in a good mood. I'm in a great mood today. It's Friday, for heaven's sake. I'm not going to, I'm not fighting with people, but arguing for me is a very positive exercise. I find it far more exciting to have someone to argue with than someone to agree with. You know why? I might learn something. Don't learn something from someone you agree with.
I would have to say that you are in the minority of people. Most people who are looking to argue are looking to prove you wrong. They're not looking to learn something new.
Good luck if you think you're going to prove me wrong. I'm ready for you. I got both arguments in the barrel, and I'm loading the third one as we speak.
Yeah, well, there is an old saying.
Look, it's Romar.
I'm back. There's an old saying about patriotism where you take pride in things you never did, and you hate other people that you never met because somehow they're not in the same areas.
It's like,
it is that tribalism.
Last night I was watching the decathlon, which is my favorite event because you get these super athletes. Now, the guy who wins the decathlon, and I say the guy because, you know, the women's high jump is lower than the men's high jump, and the women's pole vault's lower than the men's pole vault. So these are just things that unfortunately make it different to be men and women. But the point is, the men's decathlon is such a hardcore event. So it's 10 different events. And the guys who do this, the guy who eventually wins this, is the Victor Lodorum of the Olympics.
Okay.
He's like the Jesus of the Bible. He's the big hero. The Victor Lodorum is the supreme athlete of the Olympic Games. And when they crown that person, everyone else should just go home.
There you go again.
Seriously, they had this guy last night doing the pole vault from France. Now, I'm not French.
He is. Oh, he's descent.
Wait, no, he's French.
Of descent, yeah.
A French Arab. Depends who asks me.
He's a French Arab. It depends on how high on the victim scale he wants to find himself. Yeah, if he wants people to feel sorry for him, he says, but I am from Arabia. If he wants people to go, oh, he's a first world asshole, then he goes, I'm French.
Okay.
Now, you got the best of both.
Absolutely.
All right, here's the deal. This French dude was unbelievable. Do you know what height he pole vaulted over?
I don't know.
5.4 meters.
Sure.
5.4 meters. You know, I mean, that's higher than our roof plus a meter. It's absolutely incredible. And that's just one event.
Yeah.
They had this guy called Ashton Eaton from America. Uh-huh. He was the Victor Lodorum at the last Olympics in London. And he's tracking number one again to win the Victor Lodorum.
I will also remind you that one Caitlyn Jenner was a decathlete, wasn't she?
What?
But didn't
absolutely no,
Bruce Jenner win?
There's no such person.
No. But wasn't Bruce Jenner? Sorry. Yes, Bruce Jenner.
There's no such person.
Once upon a time, there was a guy
that
called.
That person
Bruce
is dead to us.
Caitlyn Jenner was the Victor Lodorum of the 1970 something Olympics. Is what I'm trying to say, Gareth.
Why don't you ask Caitlyn? She's on the phone.
I'm a boy.
Good morning, Caitlin.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Have you been enjoying watching the Olympics? Are you getting?
I love the Olympics.
Yeah, getting flashbacks from your old days when you were.
I was once Victor Lodorum.
Yes, at the 1976 Olympics.
Oh, hold on a second. I just have to charge my balls.
Oh.
Hello.
Are you done,
Caitlin?
Hi.
Yes.
I love the Olympics. Did I tell you how much fun it was at the pole vault? And then I got out of the pole.
Yes.
And as soon as I lifted my legs, my balls hit the pole and it fell. And I lost on the ground.
Well, you know, Caitlin, there was another incident this year with a guy whose penis hit the bar as he was also doing the pole vault.
Yeah,
so it's very much
sorry,
a common
Caitlin's
thing.
Gone. She thinks we were mocking her.
I've spent hours doing the sports, and now...
No.
Hey, we're allowed to talk about whatever we want.
There's two spoiler alerts in the 5 minutes.
So repeat the hits. We'll get to it.
All right.
Thank you, Patty. You're such a shit sports reporter, I can tell.
All right. I will tell you that the candidates list for the public protector replacement has been shortlisted to 5 candidates. Yeah.
Yes, and apparently nobody can decide whether Judge Desai, who the ANC like, is a good enough candidate, or who are the others?
Busisiwe Mkhwebane.
No, they're not sure if they like Busisiwe because, again, some people think she may have a temper or something.
Then you have Professor Bongani Majola.
Oh, no, sorry. It's Bongani Majola. They were worried that he may be a little short-tempered, and he also was a prosecutor under the old regime and has no struggle credentials, as if that's important when applying the law.
Professor Majola has a master's...
Let's just remember, this is someone who became a prosecutor under the apartheid regime. In other words, The odds were stacked against them, and they still became a prosecutor. I would think that that should earn you bonus points. That shouldn't be considered something that would get you counted out of this. But there we go. That's Floyd Shivambu from the EFF said that Bongani Majola should not be considered.
Oh, dear. Professor Majola has a Master of Law degree from Harvard,
Harvard. See, again, that's why Floyd really doesn't like him, because Floyd's got some piddling degree from that milksop university vits, so...
He also worked with the UN International Criminal Tribunal on the Rwandan genocide.
See, now, I mean, what credentials are these? If this were me, if I get to choose, if I'm dictator of South Africa, I mean, there we go. Signed, sealed, delivered. Of course, as dictator of South Africa, we don't need a public protector because I'll decide what's good for you.
This is true.
But in this case, this person sounds to me to be the most qualified. Siraj Desai is not a bad guy. I mean, he's also been a judge for a long time.
Yeah.
Some controversial cases, but, I mean, which judge in South Africa isn't going to have a controversial case at some point? You're a lawyer. Who would you choose, Roma?
Mrs. Wiener. Charisse Wiener.
Judge Charisse Wiener, who's been on the bench of the South Gauteng High Court for 5 years.
You appeared before her ever?
No. I don't do court work, but a lot of my colleagues in the law field rate her very highly.
All right.
As an advocate specializing in corporate and family law, she's also founding member of Lawyers for Human Rights. Okay. Busisi Wemkwebani is an advocate who has a senior investigator, or was rather a senior investigator, at the Office of the Public Protector for 7 years.
Huh.
Before moving to Home Affairs, where she was a senior manager, before moving to the State Security Agency, where she is an analyst. Yeah.
Listen, these people are all supremely qualified. It's just a question of who's the most politically acceptable across the board. And I reckon if the DA and the ANC agree on a public protector, it doesn't even matter what Floyd says.
Yeah, but when have the DA and the ANC ever agreed on anything?
You'd be surprised. We've got laws in this country that have had to have been passed by at least, the ANC plus a party sometimes. And it's happened. They don't like to outline how they cooperate, but we would like to see more of that. I don't know a single South African who would like to see less cooperation between the political parties. I don't know a single South African who wouldn't want the political parties to actually do more positive work together. Then at least we could measure them all as being useful, rather than all as being obstructive. Don't know. Maybe I'm sitting on a cloud.
Yeah, I think you're high.
You think?
Well, you're on a cloud, so you must be.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of which, where's Rob from Amsterdam? Hasn't called us in a week. Do you think he's all right? Think he's been driven over by a bicycle in Amsterdam?
I think he has lost touch.
Fallen in a canal.
Of what day of the week it is, what time it is, because he's high all the time.
All right. Hey, by the way, did you see they've elected some old white-haired lady as the mayor of Mukhale City? Did you know that?
Lillian something.
Yes, her name is Lynn Panali.
Did you see the video?
I saw the video. Everyone went crazy. There was dancing and singing and cheering and ululating. And I thought, wow, this is going to be an interesting mayor. And then they pan over to her, and she's this little old white-haired lady.
But what was interesting was all the EFF supporters.
They loved her.
Crowded around her, put hats on her, kissed her.
Oh, okay.
And then I tweeted that the hatred of the ANC brings so much more racial reconciliation.
It's wonderful. Who knew that the secret ingredient to races coming together was just to hate the ANC altogether? There we go. I didn't even know that the DA had enough votes, even with the EFF, to get Mukhale City. I thought that one was pretty much ANC, but there we go.
There we go. Technically speaking, coalition agreements can still be ongoing, Gareth, and tomorrow, I think, is the final day.
Tomorrow's D-Day.
We could very well still be hearing news developments over the weekend.
All right, we'll get into some more news later on. We've got an interesting day for you today. It's Organ Donor Month, if you didn't already know that, so we'll be talking to some people about that, and we've got some interesting guests popping by a bit later as well. It's Friday. Chris Chameleon will be in. Chris Chameleon, the singer. Wasn't he recently on your Renegade Report as well?
Yes, Stealing Our Thunder. Ours will only be released on Tuesday.
Okay, but we're not stealing your thunder, because I doubt very much we'll talk about the same things with Chris that you did. So there we go. The Renegade Report next Tuesday with Chris Chameleon, but we've got him on today. He's obviously doing the rounds because he's got material to flog. So he's putting out, what is it, High, a new single which is being played on South African radio, and he's here to tell us about that. It's an album called Firmament, and Chris Chameleon will join us in a short while. I remember we had a chat to him, what was it, 2 years ago, Mubs? He was fun to have in here.
Yeah.
An interesting dude. All right, it is time for Romo to give us the sport. Now, Ben is going to try and Skype in as well, Peshida, because Ben is very concerned that Romo is going to screw up his sport. So keep an eye out for Ben, because I know he's nervous about this. But let's get into it, because Olympics, the Olympics is pretty much everything at the moment, and nobody's talking about anything but the Olympics. So maybe we should start with that, Romo. Do you have that?
Absolutely.
All right, let's go into this.
So, ironically enough, the biggest sports story of the week wasn't discussed by the previous guests this week. The Japanese pole vaulter, Hiroki Ogita, he was denied a jump because his penis dragged the bar down.
I know, nobody said anything.
No one said a thing. He was betrayed by his own penis. I thought that was quite a story. Okay, in swimming, Ryan Lochte pissed on the wall in a gas station, and a security guard tried to stop him from leaving.
Right.
And, now he's left Brazil, but the international incident has ensured that the other three were taken off the plane, leaving Brazil, and now they're not in custody, but they're just being kept in Brazil for some reason.
And Ryan Lochte's home and dry.
Absolutely. And onto other swimming news, Michael Phelps assaulted journalists on his return.
Michael Phelps assaulted journalists?
Well, not physically assaulted them, but he called them all sorts of names and says, I want my privacy.
All right.
Someone's got the most medals. Why would you want your privacy in the middle of the airport? Very odd. Okay, athletics. Massive news. Bolt won another gold medal. No one saw that coming.
Well, I think I could have guessed that.
What event was this for?
This was for the 200 meter gold. And apparently he did it in the time of 19 seconds and 77, 19.78 seconds.
Now, that's amazing. If you think about the 100 meters, which, they always try to do under 10 seconds, for Bolt it's somewhere around 9 point something.
But 9.58 was the latest one.
Right, but here he is doing 200 meters in under 20 seconds. Mm. So it seems he's able, over a longer distance, to keep the same kind of speed going. It's an incredible feat. This guy is unreal. I love Usain Bolt. When he runs, I am happy to watch people running. Normally I could give a shit about people running. Look at how we all get excited about a guy running. Because it's him.
It is quite something. But what was interesting about Bolt in the semifinals for the 200 meters, the last 50 meters, he was telling a joke to the guy next to him who was running along with him. And they both crossed the line and they were both laughing at one joke, which I thought was quite interesting.
What a guy. What a guy. And in the way he looks at the camera, and he's just messing around. He's actually, I think he's just saying to the whole world, I am so superior a specimen to all of you in terms of my athleticism, that I'm actually going to make a mockery of certain things that you would regard as holy. Because all those other guys are like, face forward, look at the lane you're in, don't be distracted, wear this, think of that. When you're in the starting blocks, imagine, picture yourself winning. He doesn't care about any of that. He just runs.
But did you see that interview with his mother from a few days back? She says, it's all well and good that he's winning all these medals, but I'll only really support him once he gets married and has children.
Oh, of course, of course.
That's her direct words.
In a thick Jamaican accent.
No doubt. Okay. And then, locally, excuse me, an Afrikaans woman won a silver medal for javelin. I thought it was Sunette Bridges from the Red Genocide, the White Genocide.
No, that's Sunette Bridges.
But it's actually Sunette Viljoen. I'm not sure whether
they're
related.
Thank God, that's a very different thing, no.
Right, so she's got a silver medal for javelin. I don't know what distance she's through.
It's 60... I wish I had the figures in front of me. It's between 60 and 70 meters, which is the area that they're aiming for gold and silver.
Right.
And she was beaten just a little bit by some Czech woman, as I understand it.
But you know what,
Roman, you don't have to pretend to be a sports fan or an expert, because we know you don't give a damn. Here is Ben Karpinski, everybody. Good morning, Ben. Far away.
Hello.
testing. 1, 2, 3. Ben, hello. Come in, Ben.
Hi, guys. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes
loud and clear.
Ben. Well done, Rob. I just
Oh no.
But things kind of went pear shaped.
Yeah, just like your line just went pear shaped. All right, yeah.
No.
I don't know if this is going to work, Ben. I have to be honest.
Shit, guys. Okay.
Okay, we can hear you now. Go ahead.
Yeah, Gareth, I was very impressed with Roman's preparation there. Where did he end off on? Because I just had to go blank there for a bit.
He said that some South African woman called Sunet something won the javelin by throwing a certain distance. He doesn't know what that distance was, and she got a silver medal. So not great sport.
Sunet Fulgen, Sunet Fulgen, she did very well. She was a medal hope for us back in London, but she did quite badly there, unfortunately. But yeah, she hoyed the thing by a far, and a silver medal, which is a really big deal. And Henry Schoeman of the triathlon, did you hear about this guy?
Tell us.
He, about 2 days ago, he had the most ridiculous fever. He was on death's door. Now, you imagine when you go to Rio and you get a fever with Zika and all that kind of stuff, you must be shitting your pants.
Yeah.
So, literally, 2 days prior, he then bounced back and he got a bronze in the triathlon, which is absolutely incredible. That's one of the success stories of the South African Olympics so far. He might not get the same sort of credit that, say, the swimmers will get, or Caster, or Wade, of course, but that is a huge effort. Like, well done to this dude. So now we have 9 medals, right? Sascock predicted we'd get 10 medals. And, of course, the 10th medal, according to the Renegade Reports podcast, is a guaranteed gold for Carsten Semenya.
Excellent. Excellent.
That will take place Sunday morning SA time, 2:15. So you might as well stay up for that one. It's going to be a huge moment. Gold for Coster is what's expected. And by all counts, it should be a foregone conclusion, which is horrible to say, but... Yep, our golden girl Coster is going to be the one that gets the 10th medal.
Very good. Well, I mean, who could be against that? That's terrific. And we'll take all the gold medals we can.
You'll be surprised. Some people are. So, Roman, what have you got on the rugby?
What rugby?
There's your answer, Ben.
Is that the one with the round ball or the oval one?
Okay. Well, look, we're playing Argentina tomorrow. We're playing in Nelspruit. So, Nelspruit, what a big day out. And Alistair Garcia has made a couple of changes to the team. Open Pojo is at number 7. Garcia Khaleesi is injured. So, people are saying maybe he doesn't deserve his chance there. Just people mustn't forget, though, that Mahojo is probably a more traditional 7. He's more of a hard worker than Garcia Khaleesi or Nacho. But, look, lockwise, interesting that Lotte Jager is going to be ahead of Peter Sefutu'e. They'll partner up with Eben Esabeth there. Julian Redlinghaus gets a start at 3. And Johan Coursen is going to be fullback. Now, this is very interesting because he's been a guy who's doing so well over in France in the multi-billion euro leagues. So he'll be a nice right for the kicking option. And Damien Dallander and rejoin in the center pairing. And Brian O'Donnell has come back because he's the only one with real test experience in the entire backline, which is kind of sad. So those are your sort of big things. Yaku Creel still can't make the starting lineup. Francois Lowe has been favored ahead of him there. But all in all, it's a pretty good side, a bloody strong bench. And this Jaguar side is very much just the Jaguar Waters, but in a better jersey.
Okay.
So we're talking about patriotism earlier. And the thing about with these RGs is that they like to fight. But when they sing the national anthem, it's like they become 40% better, 40% more intense. So if there was ever an argument for national anthems, this is urgent. So when you watch some of 5 p.m. SA time, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about.
All right, Ben, we're going to let you go because the line isn't so great, but we're glad you're okay and you'll be back next week.
Okay.
All right. All righty. There's Ben live from Thailand trying to fill in the sport, the blanks where Roman doesn't even know there were blanks.
May I just give the fixtures for proper sports ball
okay.
for this weekend?
What
very
do we
important.
Got?
Right. Manchester Palace is playing Southampton United.
Yes.
Tonight at 9 p.m.
Yes.
And then former Ballet Stroke City is playing Manchester. So Stroke City is playing Manchester City tomorrow,
yes,
my Ballet.
Yeah, yeah.
Stroke City and Manchester City. Okay.
You know what?
Tomorrow at 1:30.
I prefer the name change. Stroke City sounds much better than Stoke. They should keep it.
And then tomorrow at 4 is Liverpool Hotspurs versus Burnley. I just hope they don't find a suspicious package.
Hotspurs.
Last time there was a suspicious package that evacuated the
yes,
arena.
I remember.
And it was actually a tax certificate. Hopefully it doesn't happen again.
All right.
And that's your sports.
Thank you. Oh, well, that was terrific. I mean, let's give him a round of applause. The worst sport ever. Ben actually had to get up and call from Thailand on a really shit Skype line just to fill in the gaps. All right, but thank you, Omar.
And your pleasure.
All right. Do you know what time it is? It is 6:45, which means we're going to check in with Anthea Gardner, and I've got some embarrassing admissions to make to Anthea.
Okay.
Yeah.
We love it when you're embarrassed.
You have no idea. All right, I'll tell her about it now.
Why save it such a letter? Anthea Gardner, such a letter. Anthea, why save it such a letter? Omo tware hante. Anthea, why save it such a letter? Anthea Gardner, such a letter. Anthea, why save it such a letter? Omo tware hante. Anthea.
Good morning, Anthea. How are you?
Good morning, Gareth. I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Good.
What's going on?
All right. You tell us what's important first, and then I'll tell you my embarrassing admission, because I just lost it with the stock market yesterday, but I'll tell you what I did. Oh. Yeah, I know. All right, what do you got for us?
I don't know how you lost it, because the stock market had a nice little bounce yesterday.
No.
The market closed 1.5% higher.
Yeah, I'll explain just now. So the market closed 1.5% higher. By the way, how did your NASPAS do that you were telling us that we should buy yesterday?
They were up 2% yesterday.
Excellent.
NASPAS yesterday made up 20% of the entire market trade. Can you believe that?
Phenomenal.
One share, fifth of the market.
It is one share that costs 2,200 and something rand.
That is true, yes. but it's still incredible, and it is kind of the biggest share, and it is over $1 trillion now or something, the market cap. So
huge.
Yeah. And in fact, NASPAS and Standard Bank together made up a third of the market. So two shares made up a third of the market trade yesterday. I think that those numbers are crazy.
That is crazy.
We had some exaggerated moves as well. Standard Bank closed 7% higher. They reported a fairly impressive set of results, admittedly. Two key features of the results. They saw some strong revenue growth, which brought their cost-to-income ratio lower. And they increased their dividend by 12% to 3.40 rand per share. So that's nice. You know, we like cash in the pocket of shareholders. We like being
Definitely.
Rewarded for holding their shares.
Sure.
And Standard Bank's results pulled the entire banking sector up. First Rand, Nedbank, Barclays Africa Group, all up over 2% yesterday. Retailers, I'm afraid, weren't so lucky. Truworth's results, not nearly as pleasing. Headline earnings per share up 12%, but the market was expecting 18%. So 30% lower than expectations really didn't impress the traders yesterday. And then Truworths are also increasing their dividend by 12%, but they're offering a scrip alternative. In other words, instead of paying you cash, you can elect to have more Truworths shares. And you know how this works, right? So depending on what the alternative is, you have to actually let the company know. So you actually have to vote whether you want shares, probably at a discount, or whether you want cash in hand.
Okay.
And then Murray's was up 4% again yesterday. They put out a trading statement saying that headline earnings per share would be 8 to 13% lower. So I'm guessing the market was expecting a bigger decrease. But this is, I don't think this is painting a particularly good picture, you know. I feel like this construction sector really is due a retracement now because they've just been carrying on and on higher. And then Adapt IT also reported yesterday, I know. This is one of my favorites. In the last 5 years, they've grown earnings by 28% a year and operating profit by 43% a year. I'll admit, I am a bit of a fan of the CEO, Sibu Shabalala. He's kind of grown up in the business, and he's just got a really good work ethic. You know, he started as a programmer, and now he runs this IT business, huge IT business. They've got their results presentation at the JEC later. I'm quite keen to hear. He mentioned yesterday how they're planning to grow revenue to 3 billion rand a year by 2020. So I really want to hear how he's going to do that. I mean, they are an acquisitive company, and they do have a decent amount of cash, so I think he can do it. I guess the real test lies in how he consolidates the businesses he buys into Adapt IT and how he extracts value from it after he's bought these businesses. Sorry. And then global markets weren't nearly as bullish as our market. US closed just barely green. Asia was a bit mixed this morning. The Rand, 13.41 to the dollar, so quite weak, quite a bit weaker. 17.63 to the pound and 15.20 to the euro, which is a lot weaker than a week ago.
Sure.
But hopefully this weaker rand will help us to have a bounce in the stock market.
Well, I mean, we continue to do well against the pound and the euro, though. No problems there. 17.63 to the pound and 15.20 to the euro.
Yeah, it's okay. You're right. I shouldn't complain.
Yeah, I mean, those are not bad numbers. All right.
Gareth, it's your turn.
So basically, I just lost my shit yesterday, and I looked at this portfolio of mine, and I looked at all those cripple stocks that are holding me back. And you know, Anthea, you're only as good as your worst investment.
Okay.
This is my Darwinian take on the stock
yes.
market, all right?
There's a whole lot of stuff about this diversification, this asset allocation. But okay. Anyway, you go with your theory.
Yeah, I got a little. It's a little portfolio. I'm not going to be breaking the JSE. Trust me. I decided I had enough of this capital in counties. I just sold it, even though I'm down what 30-odd%.
Oh my word! You know what's going to happen today, don't
it's
you?
It's going to bounce today.
Oh yes.
And then you'll rub it in my face. But I just couldn't look at that number in the more in the negative, and I just got annoyed. So I'm out of there.
I thought we agreed you were taking it off your watch list and just putting it in the bottom drawer and forgetting about it.
I'm not good at these agreements. Let's just say that it was starting to annoy me. I looked at all the stocks that aren't performing, and with the exception of Brait, I dumped a whole bunch of them. I just thought, you know what? Cut my losses. So Astoria's out. Capital and Counties is out. Consolidated
Astoria,
Infrastructure.
They were up 5% yesterday.
I'm sorry. Consolidated Infrastructure, they're all gone. I got rid of a lot of them. And I bought the NASPAS shares you told me to, and I'm happy about that.
And so you went completely contrary to diversification theory, right? So now you're sitting with tiniest amount of shares. And I tell you what, if you've made a loss on these shares, at least you can write it off against your tax this year.
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay, that's great. I'll do that.
Dear. I bet the market's going to bounce now.
Yeah.
Like you're probably, well, I'm the
anti-magic charm.
The contra indicator.
Yeah. If that does happen, then I'm going to come and sit in your office every day for about an hour and just show you what I would do, and you must do the opposite.
Yeah, I hope this is it, because I'm holding on to those. You know that, right?
I know. Don't I know.
Dear.
All right. Well, thank you, Anthea. That's a look at the markets this morning.
My pleasure. Have a good weekend.
And you too. No surfing or bungee jumping or kayaking or triathlons or anything this weekend?
We're triathlon training, yes.
Oh, you are?
But no, not racing, though. Just training.
You watching the Olympics?
I have. Very exciting yesterday. Hey, we got a third and a fourth in the triathlon.
Yeah.
Very excited about this.
The triathlon,
awesome race.
I mean, in terms of spectator sports, isn't triathlon probably the most horribly boring thing you could ever watch?
Oh, absolutely.
It is, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said it, because triathletes would hate me, but I mean, it's true. It's not interesting to listen to.
I'm a triathlete, so I enjoy watching it, but I can imagine for anybody else, it's annoying.
Well, it also lasts forever.
That's right. It's 1 hour and 45.
Yeah, exactly.
Forever. Oh, my goodness. You really are impatient.
Oh, you have no idea. That's why I can't wait for our special stock portfolio that I'm just going to throw into that and just sit and watch.
Yes, and let me handle it.
There we go. That's what we're going to do. Anthea Gardner with a look at the markets. Thank you very much. Good weekend to you. And if you've got plans for the weekend, you want to tell us about 0861-555-189. We have lots to talk about today. And I've got some interesting stuff to play for you as well, because I picked up a couple of very funny clips. I've got some Michael Phelps in there. I've got the greatest hits in the world. Can you believe that? That's not asking too much,
according
right?
According to who?
The world. Everyone on Earth has been surveyed, and they've all given their say. Weren't you asked?
They forgot about me.
Were you in quite at the time?
No, I've been here for most of the year.
I don't understand.
I'm very upset.
How did they leave you out?
I don't know.
How dare they? All right, when we come back, we'll have a look at that. CliffCentral.com.